paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to our second minisode of this series. Thank you so much for all of the feedback regarding last week's minisode. It certainly seemed to, well, scare quite a few of you, and that's exactly why we're here. So, our next minisode we're going to go right into, but before I do so, I want to remind any new listeners that you can get a free week trial of our Patreon at the highest tier by clicking the link in the show notes or by going direct to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Members at our highest tier will not only get access to the full back catalogue of Dark Bites, our Patreon-only podcast, which currently has well over 180 hours of Patreon-only podcasts, but also you will get a new show each and every week of the year, even on the downtime between seasons. And we've also added a new video show, After Dark, where I take a more informal look at what we've covered in the previous weeks. Also in the show notes, you will find a link to submit your own experience for use in our show. And it's irrelevant of the length of your experience, as if it's a shorter one, we will find a place for it either on a minisode like today or within Dark Bites. So just do make sure to check those show notes out. And while you're there, also, everyone listening now, you're listening on some sort of podcatcher, do the show a favour and hit subscribe. It really helps the show grow. But right now, settle down, make yourself a nice drink, and take some time out of your day to suspend your disbelief as we listen to Haunted by Disbelief. Firstly, hello and thank you for providing this platform for people like myself to put across our experiences. Believe me, that's not a sentence I ever thought I'd write. I've listened to your show for the last year, after trying to make sense of something that I've been through. My name is Andrew, and I'm 43, and I'm recently divorced. The reason for this email is the divorce. Because the reason for the divorce, unbelievably, is down to the supernatural. Yes, I understand how ridiculous that sounds, and even writing it down makes me feel very uneasy. However, that's sadly the case. I guess the reason was both the supernatural and also my belligerence. You see, my partner, my ex-partner, should I say, had mentioned ever since we moved into our new home in the Southwest that she'd been encountering something she couldn't explain. She said it started by hearing what sounded like somebody whispering in the shoe cupboard, which is underneath the stairs. Her stories of the supernatural only grew. First it was whispers in the shoe cupboard, next it was moved items in our bedroom. Then I would arrive home after a long day at work, only to be told that not only is the TV changing channels by itself, but it was also sending her messages, so she claimed, with each channel she changed to. I was obviously deeply concerned and sincerely suggested to her that she check with the doctor. Next, arriving home with a takeaway one day, she told me the TV had switched between channels by itself and told her she would be hearing of a death. Only for the phone to go that afternoon, and she said she'd been informed of the death of a close friend. Now this close friend was also a friend of mine, so I was partially annoyed that she would, to me at least, make this ridiculous statement. And this was the time that our first real argument about this whole series of supernatural events took place. I am skeptical, you see, and to hear my partner, my wife, say such things. She was receiving messages via the TV from alleged spirits about the impending demise of a good friend of ours. Well, I lost it. I accused her of attention-seeking and suggested that she goes and get herself some friends or maybe some hobbies. She, of course, took great offence to this, and that same night, she moved out to live with her sister for a week. When the week passed, I went to the sister's house and we had a long conversation. She seemed to have calmed down quite a bit and even said she had been stressed and she'd realised how ridiculous it sounded to say that the TV had been telling her messages by changing channels. So she went to the doctor, who said she was overly stressed. In truth, her job was very hectic. She works for the NHS herself. And he prescribed her some anti-anxiety medication. Now for at least a month, things were perfect. And by perfect, I mean back to normal. Back to our usual routine. Then one afternoon, as I'm working in the garage, she comes running into the garage out of breath and begs me to follow her upstairs. As she states, and I quote, "The radio's just come on, and it keeps repeating your mother's name. It's still doing it. Come on, follow me." I think she could see the exasperation in my face. She literally shouted at me, "I'm not making this up, Andrew, for God's sake, believe me." I threw down the wrench I was using with anger, and with a big sigh I followed her begrudgingly upstairs. Much to nobody's surprise, the radio was off, unplugged, and indeed no one was saying my mother's name at all. Except for my wife, who, of course, kept rambling on and on, checking the plug of the unplugged radio, and staring very confusingly at the plug socket and the back of the plug, whilst muttering under her breath, "That's not possible. How can this be possible?" Now I was genuinely starting to feel scared, but not in a paranormal sense, in a sense of I thought my wife was losing her mind. So I walked downstairs to make a call to our GP, and as my hand was ready to reach for the phone rang. On the other end was my father, who informed me that my mother had just suffered a massive stroke and passed away in the ambulance en route to the hospital. I sincerely cannot remember how that conversation on the phone ended. It's as if that moment in time has been completely erased from my memory. I do recall placing the handset back down and looking up to see my wife nervously picking at her nails, her first question being, "Was that your mother?" I must have been white as a sheet and I just slowly shook my head. I said, "No, it was Dad. Mum's dead. Apparently it was a stroke." My wife immediately looked faint and staggered. I needed to get her sat down. What with the shock of my mother still nowhere near settled in at this point, and me still trying to rectify what my wife was allegedly hearing through the unplugged radio, something ran through me like a surge of anger, as I realised I was comforting my wife, who, to me at least, had unbelievably heard my mother's name coming through an unplugged radio. Now I appreciate this makes me sound like an awful human being, but I think I dropped her into the chair when I realised I was being compassionate to someone who was, in my mind, having an auditory hallucination and seemed more preoccupied with that than the fact my mother had died. From my perspective as a complete skeptic, this was almost a final straw moment. My wife is meant to love me, to be there for me when I need her. So how is it that I'm offering her comfort and making sure she's okay when she's hallucinating and I've literally only 5 minutes beforehand found out my mother is dead? After my wife landed in the chair, I blasted out a range of swear words before storming out of the house and getting into my car and driving to my father's. Let's have a quick break to talk to you about Acorns. Acorns wants to show a little love to everyone who's on their way to some money goal. Now, a money goal may sound like something everyone has, but believe me, they don't. And even when you think you do, you don't really take into account the step-by-step incremental measurements that need to be made in order to achieve said goal, which is something I personally don't have the time to do. This is where Acorns do their magic, because they try to take you from where's my money today to that goal. And the way they do that is they focus on where your money is going to be tomorrow. There's two major things I want to point out with this. You don't need a bundle of cash to invest. You can invest your spare change. And the second thing is, I'm fortunate enough that the money I've invested, I've seen grow. And using the app, I can see that visually. They also have a potential screen. It shows you the power of compounding your money and how by doing so, you could grow it over time. Basically, for me, Acorns is an all-in-one. Invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 40 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/docparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 11 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/docparanormal. The following few weeks, as you would expect, were all dealing with the funeral, etc. And to be fair, my wife was a godsend, picking up on the essential things that I'd forgotten to do or my father had forgotten to do. Without her, I doubt we would have got through that whole experience. And despite my bereavement, we were doing much better. Then, just like the last time, we had an incident. My mother's birthday fell a month after her funeral. So me and my wife and my father had gone to her favourite restaurant as a sort of celebration of life. In the car on the way home, my wife kept looking in the rear passenger mirror to the back seat. It took a while for me to notice just how often she was doing it, as I was obviously trying to keep an eye on the road. But eventually I ask, "Why do you keep looking in the back of the car?" She didn't answer. In fact, she turned and looked out of the window, shaking her head, and then muttered, "I daren't tell you." I felt my gut pull inside. I knew where this was going. Yet at the same time, I caught myself glancing in the mirror at the back seat, still trying to act as if I had no idea where this was going. So I said, "Of course you can tell me." I felt her looking at me hard from my left side as I kept glancing to my left to see her unblinking stare straight at my face. And then, very matter-of-factly and in no way panicky, or using any of the sort of mannerisms she'd previously used when telling me things like this, she calmly blurted out, "Your mother's in the back seat." I genuinely lost control of the steering wheel for a moment. I did not say one word until we arrived home. I couldn't. I was just driving, shaking my head. Words were trying to form, but they were not leaving my mouth. When we arrived home, I walked straight to the kitchen and I slammed my keys against the kitchen table. I turned to say, "I've had enough of this." But before I could get the words out, my wife was already halfway up the stairs. I, once again, very uncouthly, shouted something up the stairs at her and returned to the kitchen where I poured myself a large whiskey. An hour later, I went upstairs to try and make peace, after calming myself down, helped, of course, by the whiskey. When I reached our bedroom, I noticed she was packing a case. She informed me she was leaving. I was bewildered. She was leaving me like I've done something wrong. Like I'd been the one who'd created ghosts of her dead relatives. It felt like someone had punched me in the face and then reported me to the police because I'd hit their fist with my face. "Do what you want," I said, and I stormed downstairs and I slept in the living room. The next morning, slightly hungover, I drove to her sister's house where I assumed she'd be. However, my wife leaving me was news to her sister. I drove back home. Hours passed, and I was close to phoning the police when my wife finally returned home to grab a few more things. She said she was staying in a nearby hotel and told me she wanted out of our marriage, saying that my complete lack of belief in what she claimed to be experiencing was at first understandable, but was now becoming an insult. And to her, I'd proved, apparently, that I didn't love her. You must remember, this is as far from the perfect time for me mentally also. Having just lost my mother, this felt like a further kick in the teeth from the universe. So, as I unfortunately do, I dealt with it in the completely wrong way and told her she needed to get her head sorted. Of course, I fully expected her to return. But days passed. Then weeks. Then my calls, which were unanswered, were now blocked. I went to her sister, who refused to give me her new number. And eventually, her sister blocked me. So I went round to her house and I knocked on the door. I demanded to know where my wife was, saying how this had all blown out of proportion. Her husband came to the door and said, "Listen, Andy, it's best you just go home. All I know is she's done with you. You're just going to have to accept that and move on." I think I laughed when he said it, because it felt like one big joke. I kept waiting for some sort of candid camera host to jump out from behind a bush and reveal themselves. But no, this was happening. This was real. Unlike the messages from the TV and the radio. Then the divorce papers arrived through the post, and the reality of it all hit me like a brick in the face. I walked like a zombie into the kitchen, poured myself a whiskey, and then turned round and walked up to the bedroom that I'd only got out of about an hour before. And I lay there in bed sipping whiskey at 10 a.m. after phoning in work sick, still shaking my head in disbelief of this whole ridiculous scenario. And then the bedroom TV came on its own accord. As the TV sprung to life, the first channel I came on was a woman laughing. It changed by itself to a different channel. It was another woman laughing, then to a different channel, another woman laughing, and then it turned itself off. I think I stared at that TV for about 3 hours before pouring the whiskey down the sink and heading back to my partner's sister's house, begging my partner's sister to tell my partner I now believed her. I've witnessed it myself. Then it dawned on me my partner hadn't told her sister anything of what she's been experiencing. So to her, me rambling outside saying things like, "I've experienced it too, tell her," and smelling of whiskey, I must have looked crazy. She ended up opening the top bedroom window and shouted, "Move now, Andrew, or I'll phone the police." That was around 12 months ago, December. Within those 12 months, we are now divorced. I've not spoken a word to her since that night in this house when she left. However, in those 12 months, the radio has come on by itself, unplugged, on at least 3 occasions. I bought a new TV after the old one repeated the laughter incident about a month after the initial one, Thankfully, that hasn't happened again. I've never experienced an 18-month period like the one I've just been through. Genuinely, I feel robbed in many ways. I mean, who would believe their partner when they say such things? Especially when they know I'm a skeptic. I was obviously clearly more concerned for her mental health than I was about ghosts. That's until I became aware of them myself. Or should I say, I was purposefully mocked by them on numerous occasions. In hindsight, I wish I would have believed her from the start. At least I would still have my perfect person. And it's difficult to start again at this age. But it's even more difficult to accept, given the factors at play that caused us to be in this situation. If you read this out, I'd just add for the listener, if you love someone and they say something akin to this, believe them, or that love may go. It's dawning on me as I type how belief isn't commonplace in wedding vows. I genuinely think it should be. With thanks, Andrew. Well, Andrew, sincerely thank you for arguably one of the most honest, bare, and candid emails we've received for a minisode in quite a while. I can only imagine that shock of realizing your wife was right all along, and genuinely my heart broke slightly for you when you said you would still have your perfect person. This is not something which is common, obviously, in terms of the breakup of relationships, but it does prove one thing, that a shared belief in the spirit world or the supernatural can be a bond you wouldn't expect could keep a relationship together. But Andrew, thank you for your honesty, thank you for your email, and thank you for taking the time to submit your experience for this week's minisode. For everyone else, take care, and I'll speak to you soon.